WSB's Money Matters with Wes Moss. Certified financial planner and chief investment strategist from Atlanta's Capital Investment Advisors. Wes talks to you about investing and saving for the future. Brought to you every Sunday by RBM of Atlanta Mercedes-Benz, Sandy Springs.
Well, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here. My goodness, it's so nice to be in an air-conditioned studio. When it's already almost 80 degrees outside here on Peachtree. So, good morning. What are we going to talk about today? We've got a lot, of course, that happens. We're kind of in that mode of, we're in a more volatile stock market right now, or at least this week felt that way. And of course, anytime we have a major default looming, as Greece is toppling just on the edge of a cliff, kind of rocking back and forth whether they're going to fall over or not. And you've got this little cartoon character right underneath called the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, just about ready to bump its head on the back of Greece and, of course, knock it over some sort of cliff. And you know what? It'll be about time because I'm so sick of the news story. We've been dealing with Greece for how many years? 3 years. We've been talking about Greek debt, really even more than that. So we're going to talk about that just a little bit today because it does matter. And Greece, even though their economy in their own right isn't necessarily all that, it's teeny tiny relative to the global economy, but what impact they have on currency and the euro and how that impacts the dollar and then what that does to the U.S. economy, of course, that's what really matters. And then, of course, whether there's chaos or not within Europe and dealing with the fallout of a country that size, it's not insignificant, defaulting on the tune of $300 billion worth of debt. So there's a lot happening right now here in the world. We're live here this morning, 404-872-0750. Again, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We will get to the phones and we will take your calls and your questions. That's the fun part about Money Matters. So this morning, this is kind of a high. And the other thing I'm going to do today, I have 8 reasons why this economy is actually continuing to get stronger. So the main thing that I'm worried about, and you should be too as an investor, is if we go back into recession. Now, it really depends on what category of investor we're in. If I'm an income investor and I have dividends that I'm getting 4.5% a year, and I don't worry about the value of my portfolio oscillating underneath the hood, then I'm okay with that. But if I am 60 and I'm just about to retire and I have everything in the stock market or everything I have is invested in growth and growth equities, the S&P 500, and the market, when we go back into recession, well, we're going to get a 25 or 30% stock market correction. That's just what happens when we go through these major recessions, or it typically happens. So we've got to be on watch. We've got to understand the underlying economic backdrop. There was a great article this weekend in Barron's. It talked all about the nuances of profit margins. Of course, we own companies for earnings. We want companies to grow their earnings. And they can do that a lot of different ways. Of course, they can sell more, but they can also increase the amount they have in profits. Those are called margins. And margins today are at the highest level they've been in the history of the S&P 500, at least since we've been able to really track it effectively. There's this whole discussion in the article about profit margins dropping. And there's very often we see profit margins fall. We see the stock market fall. We've also had the inverse happen where markets profit margins go up and the market actually does okay. So it's not necessarily just about margins. It's about the underlying economic backdrop, whether we're in recession or not. That's really the key determinant. That's the underlying tide, the economic tide that we live in here in the United States and now, of course, globally. That's really that is what is of most importance, because that underlying current is what gives the backdrop for companies to either have good years and increase earnings or not. So that's why we continue to focus back to where are we headed as an economy. And I'll give you 8 reasons that the economy continues to be solid and may even pick up a little bit in the second half of 2015. Let's also talk highlights, lowlights, kind of the fun part about Money Matters, of course, in addition to your calls and questions. Number one, the U.S. is the king now. Can you believe this? Of course we believe. We talk about energy here on the show a lot. But the U.S. is now king when it comes to energy production. We are now the global leader if you combine both oil and natural gas. There was a study released recently from BP, the BP Statistical Review of World Energy. Remember, BP does business all over the planet, by the way. They're not just obviously here, or they're not just in Europe. So let's give some credibility to this study. But if you look at oil and gas, so U.S. oil last year gained about 1.6 million barrels a day. And now if you combine the two, oil, natural gas, we are number one on the planet as far as what we're able to pull out of the ground here in the United States. Use it here, sell it abroad. That's what we're able to do. Now, we're still waiting to really be able to sell natural gas abroad. That's something that's coming over the next year to 2 years. But as far as oil is concerned, number one still on the planet as far as productions, million barrels per day or millions of barrels a day. Russia's still number one, Saudi Arabia number two. And then we're really kind of almost tied with Saudi Arabia as far as our average daily production of oil alone. Number four, China. Number five, Canada. Now let's go to natural gas. We are number one in natural gas. And that's why if you put the two together, we have this pole position now globally of a gigantic energy producer. Number one, as far as natural gas, the United States. Number two, Russia. And then a distant third is Qatar. And then Iran, Canada, China, all not even close to what we produce here or pull out of the ground when it comes to natural gas. So we're number three or two in oil. We're number one in natural gas. Put them together, and we absolutely are the king now of energy on this planet. 404-872-0750, the number here in the studio. We'll go to the phones here. We've got a lot of good calls already. We're going to start with John, who joins us from Brookhaven. John, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters. How can we help, my friend?
Good morning, Wes. Thank you for taking my call. I'm retired. I'm age 65. I started my social early, and I'm drawing just a small county pension. I'm in a 15% tax bracket. I've got a 457 that's sitting in the account with the county government, and it's got about $63,000 in there. I'd basically like to get that money to where I could take use of it and spend it and actually just get out of the thing altogether. I was wondering what you might suggest me doing, rolling it over into something or taking out a certain percentage each year or month until so I don't go up over the 15% tax bracket. What is your suggestion? I would just like to get out of the market altogether and get my cash out.
Well, I guess there's a lot of really important points you just touched on here, John, that are important to everybody listening. Number one, you talked about your tax bracket. So you want to really maintain your tax bracket at a certain level, and you do have you have a lot more control over taxes and how much you pay the government once you stop working, because you can control your income a lot more than you do when you're working. When you're working, as much as you can, earning as much as you can. When you're in retirement, in the position John's about to be in, you only have to pull out what you really need as an investor and as a retiree. And if you're only pulling out just what you're having to spend, you can keep your tax bracket to some extent a very manageable level. I see people go from 30-35% taxes or overall effective tax rates down to 20, down to 15. And I've seen lots of families go from mid-20s when they're working all the way under 10% in taxes when they stop and they're just living and they have money saved for retirement. So it's really important, John, what the point that you just mentioned about keeping yourself giving some sort of goal of keeping your taxable income underneath a certain level. Remember, and this is often a common slight misconception. Remember, taxes are progressive. Well, we all know that. The more we make, the more we pay. But just because you hit the 15 bracket, John, doesn't mean all of a sudden everything gets taxed at 15. So I'll have conversations all the time with families, and they'll say, I don't want to hit 15, and then my taxes go up. Well, if you hit the 15 bracket, then it's just the next dollar that is taxed at 15 or they'll take 15 cents. So it doesn't ruin the lower taxes beneath that bracket. So that's the first thing to remember. Number two, how old are you again, John?
65. I'll be 66 at the end of the year.
And are you taking Social Security yet?
Yes, I started it early.
You did. So you're already going to have that as far as taxable income. Remember that. Number two, your 457 is a lot like a 401k if you were at a big corporation, or a 403b if you were at a university hospital or a teacher. You can just take that, and I would roll, do just a good old fashioned direct rollover to an IRA at a place like Vanguard. Okay. Or an IRA at a place like Fidelity or Schwab, where you can now go from probably have a dozen options or so on how to invest the 457. The question is, and this is the other point you brought up, how do you generate a steady income from that? How do you have a steady paycheck from that amount of money? Now, do you have anything else in IRA, or is this your main IRA?
excuse me. I have a Roth IRA with Schwab.
Okay.
And basically, that's about it. My total income before taxes and everything's about 43. After that, I think I reported about 37, 38 last year.
Well, here's my thought. If you roll out the 457 and you get it invested in an income-oriented portfolio, and we have other calls coming up here I can already see on my list about income and dividends, and we'll talk more about some of these specifics too, John. Mm-hmm. But at, let's call it about six, you're 63,000, and let's say that at your age, over time, you can average pulling out about 5% a year and have a very low probability that you ever run out of money, provided you invested in an income-oriented way. 5% of that 63,000, John, is about $3,150 a year. Divide that in a monthly way, it's about $260 a month. That'll be kind of an additional supplement to social for you. So I would set it up. You don't want to touch your Roth yet. That's a pile of money that you'll tap later in your investment career or later in retirement. So utilize this 457, roll to an IRA at Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity. They're all good custodians. Plenty of investment options at each one of them, and then plan on about $250 a month. And I would do it. I think the best way to do it is just a monthly paycheck. So you just have what's called a money link or an auto transfer from your investment account. And if you do it right, John, and we'll get more specific about this, what you can end up doing is just that $250 a month can for the most part just be the dividends and the interest from the cash flow on those investments. And we'll talk more about that straight ahead. More of your calls and questions coming up here on Money Matters. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday, 9 to 11, right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. To the phones, 404-872-0750. Jim joins us from Tucker. Jim, good morning. How can we help?
Good morning, Wes. Excellent program.
Thank you.
If I may regress for just a moment, at the end of your last show, you gave an impressive list of dividend-paying stocks, those who have paid for many years and increased their dividend yearly, such as P&G. What I saw that was left out were utility stocks like AGL Resources or Southern Company, that type of thing. I believe they pay a higher dividend than the ones that you mentioned. Is there a reason you left those out?
Well, okay, so the list you're referring to, and I'll try to revisit that briefly on at some point throughout the show today, those were companies that have been paying for 50 years and increasing for a full 50 years. So we see utility companies, even though they're extraordinarily steady and very much perennial payers, Southern in that case, it doesn't mean they always increase dividends. They'll have lots of years where they'll be flat. And that's part of, I think, why you didn't see utilities on that list. I don't think I got through the entire list, and there are some companies that are, let's not call them pure utilities, but utility/energy. And I'll go back and revisit some of that. But you're right. You're going to see more consumer products, and you're going to see industrial and manufacturing companies that have been around for 50, 60 years. Now, the question, though, I think more importantly, are the dividends today on utilities, are they attractive? And the answer is, in my opinion, I think they are. Because you have, anytime interest rates start going up, Jim, like they have recently, we've gone from about 1.6 on the 10-year treasury up to about 2.4%. It's a big move. Utility companies get hurt during that initial rise, during the taper tantrum. they typically go down anywhere from 13 to 15%. That's pretty close to where we are today. Now you also see yields that are above 5%. Southern's above 5. Duke Energy's close to 4.5. Those, it may not be the perfect timing for those, but there's a point in time where people get really interested in those dividends again. More on that when we have a little bit more time after news, weather, traffic on more Money Matters right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Well, here's more great money and investment advice from certified financial planner Wes Moss.
You think I'd leave your side, baby? Good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters. Ooh, is that a voice that almost started to go? Ooh, no. I'm doing okay. So let me continue to follow up. So I'll go back to the phones. Really, some really good questions coming up. People worried about bonds, bond prices, interest rates going up, bonds going down. What does that mean for a balanced portfolio? Super fair question and a very legitimate concern. And I think it's something that everyone is, if you're paying at least a little bit of attention, you're a little bit nervous about it. And I don't blame you at all. That's the reality of being an investor. There's a lot of emotion that goes along with what we do here. It's certainly a science and it's mathematics, but then there's the psychological side. So we have to call it a science and an art in a combination of the two. And personal finance and behavioral finance, all of those play into what makes what we talk about here on Money Matters, one of the most interesting topics on the planet. So, good morning. Welcome to Money Matters here on WSB Radio. I'm your host, Wes Moss, here every Sunday morning, 9 to 11, to take your calls and your questions and figure out what the heck is going on in this world around the globe, including Greece. Let's talk about Russia. Let's talk Ukraine. Let's talk China. Let's talk about the good old-fashioned United States of America, which is probably still the best place to understand and a very good place to be. Will be for us and our children, by the way. 404-872-0750. Ryan Ealy standing by to take your calls and questions, and he will throw some of those calls through to me. Some of them he'll just answer on his own, and you get your question answered. You go off and enjoy the rest of your Sunday. You go play golf. And that's actually kind of like the perfect Money Matters question. You just call in, you get your question answered from Ely. He knows what he's talking about. He knows just as much about this stuff that I do. And then you continue on your day. Now, once in a while, if he's trying to stump me, he'll throw a question through. And those are typically the questions I get here on the show. And it keeps it interesting. It keeps us awake on a Sunday morning. 404-872-0750. Wonderful call in the last, as we had to end up going to break, and I want to continue on this for just a minute. A gentleman asked about a dividend list that I talked about last week on last week's show, and he was concerned, and I think it was a really intelligent concern, of wondering why there weren't a lot of utility companies on the list. And here's, let me revisit this list for a second. I'm always interested in finding companies that are perennial dividend payers that are able to at least continue to pay and not have to slash their dividend to zero or cut their dividend like the bank stocks did. So banks before the financial crisis were yielding 3.5%, 4%, 4.5%, and they had done so for a very long time. And during the financial crisis, most of them effectively almost went out of business. If it weren't for government bailouts, many of them would have. And they slashed their dividends. So they maybe paid $2 a share and they went down to a penny a share. Some companies, some of those banks just went out of business and pay now, of course, 0 cents a share. Now, so we want to find companies that through all of this, through good and bad times economically, recessions, depressions, booms, busts, they've managed consistently to pay a little bit more and a little bit more every single year. And it says a lot during good economic times and they don't overpay and overindulge. And they're able to maintain the steadiness of that cash flow to you as an investor. That's a perennial dividend payer. Those are the dividend kings, if you will. Now, I went through a list last week of companies that have been doing so for at least 50 years, and many of these, many more than that. As an example, Colgate-Palmolive, they've been paying a dividend for 119 straight years. They've been ratcheting it up for the last 51 over and over and over and over. 3M, ratcheting up the dividend for 56 years. Georgia Pacific, I'm sorry, Genuine Parts. I have this weird, I always, GP, Genuine Parts, Georgia Pacific, I can consistently toggle between those two names. But Genuine Parts, 58 straight years, increase in dividends. P&G, of course, Procter & Gamble, how many, I want something like 17 brands of $1 billion or more. Actually, that's Coca-Cola has 17 brands that do $1 billion in revenue or more. Of course, some of the bigger brands are much larger than that. But these are the kind of companies that are very much global. They're not relying on any one particular demographic or country for that matter. And they're able to have a tremendous amount of stability to what they earn as a company. Parker Hannifin up 58 straight years as far as the dividend. Now, the question was, why don't I see utility companies on the list? Well, first of all, there are, and I just didn't get to some of these. This is a fairly long list. There are a couple utility companies on the list. Now, interestingly, you don't see any traditional, just straight power companies, if you will. So think about the Southern companies of the world, the Duke Power, Duke Energy of the world, Con Edge. They're not on the list because they haven't been able, because they're very, very specific in what they do. One of the characteristics of all the close to 20 companies that are on the 50-year dividend ratcheting up list, I don't know if that's the best way to describe it, but they are typically companies, or really all of them, are companies that have a pretty broad base. So there are a couple utility examples, but they're not just a regional utility company per se. They do multiple things within the utility industry, like utility services. So a company like Vectren, symbol VVC, is a Midwestern natural gas energy company, utility company, and they provide services to utility type companies. So they can, if you think about it, if they're in the natural gas space, they can do business all over the country. They're not just selling power to the people in their states or surrounding states. So it gives them a little broader opportunity to deal with volatility in the underlying business, which of course for them would be natural gas. Northwest Natural Gas, another company, Pacific Northwest, so upper left-hand quadrant of the United States, is another utility company that deals in the natural gas space, not just a natural gas provider, 59 years of increase in dividends. So there are certain, and another example, AWR, which is American States Water Company. It's really a water and power company, or water and electricity company in California. So it's actually a fairly small company, AWR, from what I remember. Let me just look this up. I love a little, we do real time. AWR, American States Water Company. As an example, they've increased their dividend for 60 years. It's a company that has a market cap, and I'm going to put this in the teeny tiny space. That's not a tiny company at all. It's $1.5 billion company. That's a small cap company. So if you look at some of these utility service type companies, some of them do water and they do power. Some of them do services and they'll sell parts for pipelines, and they'll sell again services back to big utility companies. That gives them a pretty broad base. And if you're a company that's been able to maintain an increasing dividend for 50 straight years, the one thing that ties them all in common is that they're able to sell all over the planet, or all over the country, or all over the world typically, and not just in one regional location. That helps them maintain the steadiness through all these different economic times. So really important question. I'm really glad that we got that, and it's something that I obviously should have covered last week. The number here in the studio, 404-872-0750. 1-800-WSB-TALK. If you have questions about the world imploding, Greece impacting what you have in your retirement account, the steadiness of income, money markets paying virtually zero or nothing, how do you generate any income? If you don't want to be just in these utility companies, even though they may pay 5%, some of these utility companies are down 10 to 12% this year. So there's some volatility, even in some of these very stable solid utility companies doesn't mean the price doesn't fluctuate. And right now we're seeing price fluctuation because of interest rates going up. So I'm here to take your calls and questions, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Bob joins us from Cartersville. I love Cartersville. Bob, what's going on? How can I help?
Yeah, good morning, Wes. Thanks for taking my call. Got a quick question for you. I have a couple of IRAs. Actually, it's my wife's IRA, and we are going to retire in about 3 years. And the money is going to be, when we retire, half of it's probably going to be in a Roth, and half of it's going to be in a traditional IRA. And this is actually going to be more of our play money. We have pensions and stuff like that. So this is money that we want to do, you know, trips with or anything special with. And I'm trying to balance a portfolio on it. And instead of you're going 60-40 with stocks and bonds, I was wondering, since it's only 3 years away for the IRA portion of it, not the Roth, but the traditional IRA, is going 40% cash as opposed to 40% bonds, as well, it looks like the bond funds, if the rates go up, are going to be heading south.
Okay, so you've touched on, you said quick question, yet there are probably 17 million pages of writing upon this very topic. Okay. Shouldn't I just go? And I think it's a really good point. In fact, I should probably write for my AJC blog on next week. I probably should do this exact question, which is, should I just go to cash as opposed to staying in bonds? Because we all know, and I've talked about here on the show for years now, interest rates go up, the majority of bonds go down because it's a headwind. It's a seesaw relationship or inverse. Rates up, interest rates go up, and we know the Federal Reserve is manually about to start doing that, and then the marketplace does the rest. Interest rates go up, price of my bonds go down. But just like that same seesaw analogy, if you think about it, if you're way out on the edge of the seesaw and equate that to a 30-year bond, that's the longest type of bond we can have. Well, actually, I believe Mexico just issued some 100-year bonds. You don't want to get caught in those. Who knows where Mexico will be in 100 years? Who knows where any of us will be in 100 years? But if you think about the relationship, it's really long-term bonds, Bob, that are going to be in a bear market when rates go up. So it's, if you're on the fulcrum of that seesaw, right in the middle, there's not a whole lot of movement. So your bond, your really shorter term bonds don't have the same impact of this whole rates up, prices down. So I would say, and again, there's more to this, and before I forget, I want to tell you this. Timing the bond, if you think timing the stock market is difficult, try timing the bond market. It's even worse. It's even more difficult. So I think of it as positioning ourselves knowing that rates are going to go up. There are bonds that are close to that fulcrum, or floating rate bonds that get off the seesaw and don't participate in that inverse relationship. We'll talk more about that. That are going to be fine. And you'll collect your 2 or 3 or 4%, and you're not going to have to worry about a huge downdraft in price. And I still think over time those are better investments than cash, particularly if we have the patience to be in them for, in your case, you said 3 years. So you've opened up a can of worms, Bob. You've given me my next blog topic for AJC.com. I thank you for that. And we'll continue on the show here. Straight ahead, more of your calls and questions right here on Money Matters. If you want to find me and the Money Matters team, go to WesMoss.com, WESMOSS.com. You can send me an email, watch a video about you can retire sooner than you think. Straight ahead right here on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB.
Now back to Wes Moss with the money and investing advice you need.
Well, good morning. Welcome back to Money Matters here. It's a fiery day already here as we go into the 10 o'clock hour. 404-872-0750. I will go to the phones. We probably have time for one more quick question for this hour. Tommy, how can we help?
Hey, Wes. I've had this money manager in North Carolina for about 20 years, and he notified us about a couple of weeks ago that he's selling the business out to his associates there that are with him. And so, and he's going to be there, he says, for 5 years, five more years.
Sounds like the guy's buying a boat, Tommy.
I think he is. I think he's hit the good times. But I've actually had this happen one other time with a firm that I was using down in Naples, Florida, and Legg Mason bought them, and it didn't end up very pretty. So I just didn't know if I should already, I just hate to cash that account out because of the capital gains that are in there embedded. Maybe that won't be a problem if we have a big hit. But anyway.
It reminds me of the complication between correlation, causation, and coincidentality, if you will. And the reality here is that when the Legg Mason, let's say, bought the money manager that you're talking about, and I think I know what you're referring to.
Right.
Part of the reason things went south there was really just the timing of the market.
Right.
So, and
right.
Now there's some correlation because a lot of times these mergers, Tommy, happen. And what you're referring to is a little different than a big firm buying another big money manager. From what that sounds like, partners are just buying a guy out because he wants to retire. I don't think that's the end of the world. When we start seeing these mergers and these purchases that are for a whole lot of money, we do start to see market tops. So there is some correlation between that activity and then the market itself not doing well. And then the market itself not doing well is part of the reason you saw underperformance. Straight ahead, more Money Matters.